I was really sick. My eyes were rolling in the back of my head. I was seizing up. The doctors told them that I had 3 months to live. He gives his hardest battles to his strongest soldiers. I truly believe that. It's hard to believe it when you're in the midst of it. It really is. But if I hadn't have gone through what I did, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now.
Stories stir the soul.
Stories reveal.
And stories heal.
In this podcast, we will give you an inside look at someone who's had a life-changing breakthrough.
Real people, real stories with real breakthroughs. As a health and wellness expert and coach, and Todd as a men's mentor,
we've seen firsthand what God can do when it comes to a breakthrough. So lean in, listen well. This could be your biggest breakthrough.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough. I'm your host, Wendy Pett.
I'm Todd Isburner, and I woke up this morning, Wendy.
Yes.
And I got out of bed.
Yes, that's usually what happens when
yeah,
you wake up.
Yeah,
you get out of bed.
But I'm achy. I'm sore. I worked out hard yesterday. My
joints
kind of hurt.
All those pull-ups. Yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff. And I'm starting to feel sorry for myself. I'm like, man, it's getting old stuff, you know? And I got challenge after challenge, and how am I going to overcome it?
Suck well, it up, man. Suck it up.
Seriously, that's exactly what I had to say to myself because of the interview we were going to have today on our podcast, because this 20-year-old kid blows me away. Well, he's not a kid. He's an incredible man.
Yeah, he's a young man who's amazing. His name is Memphis Lafferty, and he is a quadruple amputee. That's right, quadruple amputee. And he is from Texas. He's actually our nephew's friend, and he's just a delight. But he survived bacterial meningitis as an infant after doctors gave him only hours to live. The infection led to the amputation of all four limbs, but Memphis has spent his life proving that limitations do not define a person.
Yeah, he's been proving this in a big way, too. He's become an adaptive athlete. He's an incredible skateboarder.
Yeah.
He's a weightlifter, just won a bodybuilding contest.
Yeah.
He's a hunter, he's a mentor, and he's a motivational speaker who really does inspire others to overcome adversity with their faith, with perseverance and determination.
Yeah, and today he works with young amputees and adaptive athletes, helping them discover that obstacles can become opportunities.
Now listen, he's raw and he's real, and that's what we love about him.
He's so 20.
So hang on for the ride.
Enjoy the show. Well, hello, Memphis. It is such a joy to have you on Your Biggest Breakthrough. So glad to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we got the pleasure of meeting you in person. You're our nephew's good buddy. And we're like, oh my gosh, we got to have Memphis on Your Biggest Breakthrough.
You are such an inspiration. If people watch this on YouTube, just check his smile out. I'll tell you, that'll get you going for the day. So Memphis, here's the deal. People see you today as sort of this inspiring young man who's overcome incredible odds, and we're going to talk about all that. But your story really began with this life-threatening illness when you were just a baby. So I want you to take us back to the very beginning, like what happened, and what have your parents told you about those first days in the hospital?
So when I was 6 months old, I had a disease called bacterial meningitis. And it's an airborne illness. So you could be a carrier of it and not even know it and give it to a baby whose respiratory system isn't strong, and they can get it. I was in ICU for 3.5 months and I don't remember it, but like from what I've heard, like my family was really scared, didn't know what would happen. The doctors told them that I had 3 months to live at max. And my mom and dad stayed by my side the whole time praying. And my aunt, me and her are very, very close. Me and her talk about God all the time. She's the only reason I'm religious, to be honest, this close in my faith.
Wow.
And I still got to work through. I'm not perfect.
None of us
Nobody
are.
Is. As I was waking up from my coma, I saw my parents and I instantly smiled. There's a photo that my grandpa took. And it's like of me first opening my eyes, and I recognize my parents and I start smiling.
Well, hold up. So you were in a coma for how long?
3.5 months.
Okay. So You were how old at this point? 9 months?
9 months, yeah.
Nine and a half months, okay.
What a shocker for your parents, though, to see you come out of a coma and then a smile to light up on your face. That's what I'm talking about. That smile hasn't left his face.
I know it. Well, it's just such a reminder.
It has,
I'm sure, and we can talk about that. But it's just such a reminder that God is a miracle worker, and he has a plan for good and a great call on your life. And so I think about what your, that smile, right? That smile. I just can't imagine the feeling that your parents had in that moment of, man, there's my boy. And so at this point of coming out of a coma, had they had any of the surgeries yet?
So yeah, I was fully bandaged up, arms and legs, and basically I was able to go home, but they had to reapply my bandages, and every time they would take them off, it would pull my skin.
Okay, but let's talk about that, because people listening are like, okay, bandages, what do you mean?
So like my whole arms were wrapped completely, and you had to change them because they got bloody.
So they had to amputate.
So
I don't like know anything about that, but what was the reason that they had to amputate your arms and your legs?
It is it's a bone disease. So when I was little, I don't know exactly what happened, but a mom notices and knows when something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Completely. And I was really sick. My eyes were rolling in the back of my head. Mm. I was seizing up.
Seizing, yeah.
Foaming to the mouth. And they brought me to Children's, and they told them that it was a sickness, and it would pass.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a fever, and it would go away.
Mm.
And they brought me back home, and that's when my eyes started rolling in the back of my head. And my mom was like, no, like, we got to go. They took me to the emergency room, and the doctor saw that and instantly jumped on me. And then that's when they told my parents I had a couple hours to live.
Mm. Wow. But God kept you around, and your mm-hmm. parents kept praying, and everybody kept hoping. And there you were 3 months in the hospital.
Sadly, y'all said y'all want to talk deep, so
let's do it. Yeah,
they both of my parents are addicts.
Okay,
thankfully sober now.
Mm.
My dad just got 2.5 years sober.
Praise God.
My mom has 1.5 years, I believe.
Mm.
But during that time, they relapsed, went back. They didn't know what to do.
Yeah,
and.
Abusing drugs or alcohol or both?
All the above.
Mm.
So here they're young parents, and they have this little infant who's in the hospital. They're told you're going to die, but you don't. You're in a coma. And then a decision has to be made to amputate your legs and your arms. That must have been unbelievably agonizing for them to have to make that decision, right?
Well, it's either that or I'm donezo.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so for them to really know that, okay, we love our son no matter what. Mm. We want him alive. And even in the midst of their addiction, right? Because they were dealing with their addiction even when they were, when you were an infant, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so even in the midst of their addiction.
They met at rehab, I think.
Wow.
At a treatment center.
That's
they
good.
Told me they met at a Starbucks.
Well, maybe it felt like a Starbucks.
They were having
to them.
A Starbucks at the center.
They were calling.
They were having
Starbucks
while they met.
And so, but I just think for them to just know, and because God puts that in our hearts to have a love for our children no matter what. And so, maybe in their right mind, so to speak, they knew that they wanted their son to live and not die. And so I think that's beautiful and tough in their own right. And they probably were struggling in how to handle the whole situation on top of their stuff. And
it's their first time.
Yeah, right. Wow.
Well, it's pretty incredible when you think back about what that chaos must have been like in your family and your parents trying to cope with it. But here you are, a little boy starting to grow up now. And for you, you didn't know anything, but I mean, your normal was not having arms, not having legs.
Right.
Yeah. And my parents didn't raise me any different.
Good for
them.
They
didn't tell me that I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
If I wanted to, like when I remember when I was younger, I really wanted a bunk bed and I insisted on sleeping on the top bunk.
And, good luck with
and how were you going to get up there?
Exactly.
That's no what they idea. Were saying.
So
and my how did you make it work?
So you
put pillows and blankets on the bottom and I climbed for the whole day just trying to figure out, kept falling.
Wow.
And by the end of the night, I was able to climb up there to go to sleep.
Oh, man.
Okay.
That's perseverance.
Perseverance, yeah. Memphis. I mean, everybody can get just inspired by that alone, because so many of us will just decide to quit because it's just too hard in the first go. And yet you kept going hours and hours until you accomplished what you set your mind to accomplish. And that just says a lot about who you are as an individual, mm-hmm. and all the things that you are accomplishing right now. It's because you've got that pit bull determination, and that's a gift from the Lord.
So Memphis, do you think that one incident where you forced yourself to absolutely determine to get up
with no arms and no legs, like I can't even, like, how do you do that?
Was that sort of the turning point for you when you started to realize, look, I'm not going to be limited by what others would view as a handicap?
I'm gonna be honest, I never really, like, I've never looked at myself as handicapped, not once.
Good for you.
Ever, because I'm not.
Right. Amen.
Really, I do everything by myself.
I love it. I mean, seriously.
Was it hard for your parents to have to watch you struggle like that? Or?
Oh, yeah, for sure. My dad, he's always told me that when I'd struggle, I'd get upset and I'd start crying. But he'd try to help me and I'd yell at him and tell him no. And he realized that he just had to let me just lock in pretty much.
That's
it was
really
hard
cool.
for him. I know he's told me because his first instinct is to help me.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, that's any parent's first instinct. And so I think that that's says a lot about your dad, too. And the maturity of him seeing you struggle, knowing it's going to make you stronger and allow you to do things that you wouldn't normally be able to do. I think of Nick. I always have a hard time saying his last name.
Nick Fuji or Fuji?
Nick, Vujicic.
Vujicic. Nick Vujicic.
Okay, there you go.
So,
not close.
Yeah. So he's also, you know, been living a life with no arms, no legs. And look at all he's accomplished. And you actually met him when you were young, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And how old were you?
I was maybe like 4.
Wow.
4 or 5.
Okay.
And I remember, and this is funny. Me and my dad were there and I saw his wife. And I was like, I looked at my dad. I was like, hey, when I get older, can I have one of those?
And yes.
He said, yes.
Good for him. Absolutely, you can.
Still waiting.
So Memphis, you've said that one of your keys to success is being willing to fail and then get back up. So can you share an example of maybe failure that ended up teaching you maybe one of life's most important, you know, lessons?
Yeah. One of the biggest things in my life that really took me to where I am today is skateboarding. You can see it on my wall.
Yeah, I see it. Uh-huh, behind you.
I met a dude across the street. I was outside playing with my remote control car. I was really young. I was like 7 or 6. 6, 7. Mm-hmm. And I saw him skateboarding and I yelled at him. And he came over, let me try his board, and instantly I fell in love with it. I just thought it was so cool. And what I actually did was I took one of my old crutches from when I was a baby to walk. Yeah. We broke it in half and put a little thing at the end so I could push.
Yeah,
like a little stopper kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And I just started skating every day with him.
Wow.
And eventually was able to learn tricks. Flat ground tricks.
I mean, I don't even skateboard. I've never been able to skateboard, and I have 2 arms and 2 legs. Like, it blows me away. When I stand on a skateboard, it just goes right out from underneath me.
So I'm curious, because you mentioned the other kids, and so how did the kids respond to you in school and stuff? Did everybody just wonder how you were doing this, or did they look
treat you the same?
How they observe you?
So okay, when I had my disease, afterwards we moved to Atlanta to get a fresh start, and we lived there for about 8 years, and then my grandpa passed away, so my dad wanted to move back so my grandma wouldn't be alone. So we moved back, got into Prairie Trail Elementary School, and what they did was they did like a whole little presentation for me to the whole school. So they weren't like,
that's actually really cool.
But like, I knew
to educate.
Yeah,
it sounds like your school really prepared everyone, the attendees, to really embrace you and understand what you'd been through. And so that is pretty amazing. But I would imagine that most people that have gone through what you've been through would feel sorry for themselves. Yet that's not how you live. You don't feel sorry for yourself. So how do you keep from, and maybe you've never been in that place, but in that victim mindset or life's unfair, have you ever had those thoughts?
No, ma'am. Well, no. I mean, I've had thoughts before of, and it's not even of my disability. Like, I tell people all the time, like, my disability is the least of my worries. Like, that's just my normal.
Well, then what do you worry about most? What?
Just a lot of family stuff, you know, growing up, family trauma. Mm-hmm. Me and my siblings got split up.
How many siblings
do you
have?
At a very young age. I have two siblings. I'm the middle child.
So you guys got split up. That brought in extra tension and extra challenge. And your folks are dealing with addictions and all of that. So I can imagine that outside of your physical challenges, you've got those mental and emotional challenges. But you're a man of faith. And I'm really curious to know, when did that first begin in your life, that journey of faith?
That breakthrough.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep it real. I've struggled with, you know, substance abuse, drinking, all of it. And senior year, I don't know what happened. I quit everything. And I started listening to worship music, really trying to get my faith, really trying to lock in. I quit smoking weed. I even quit vaping. Now we see how that's going now. Yeah. But I quit vaping. I quit everything. But, you know, stuff happens, and I'm not as strong. I'm still strong in my faith, but not how I felt back in senior year when I was really trying to lock in. Just because I forget, when you are going through stuff and you don't process through it and you just push it down and push it down, it doesn't go away.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. When you drink it away,
still there.
When you smoke it away, yeah, it's still there, and it will come back stronger. I was actually having this conversation with my friend last night because he's going through something. It was funny. I was telling him that, and he was like, bro, when did you become all philosophical on me? I was like, man, I've been like this.
So, Memphis, how, you know, with all that you've been through, and especially having to struggle through addictions as well, and then breaking free and making that clean break and saying, God, I really want to get to know you. So how have these challenges helped really shape your understanding of who God is and your relationship with him?
I think there is a big misunderstanding on Jesus. It's a relationship, and that's really all it is.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has their own different relationship with him. Like, I don't say a bunch of like prayers, and like, I just speak to him.
You keep it real. You're keeping it
authentic.
Yeah, you're keeping it real with Jesus, is what you're saying.
And I'll cuss in front of him on accident too.
Oh boy.
Yep.
Well, you know what? He forgives us, right? Because we're not perfect. We're a work in progress always.
Yep.
And he loves us. He loves us the way that we are. And so he loves that you're authentic. He loves that you have this childlike thing about you, that you can just come to him and bare your soul. And that's what he really wants from all of us, instead of some religious, pious ways in which we're trying to go about our faith. I think he appreciates someone like you and the way that you're having a conversation with him. And because really that conversation is prayer, right? And that's a beautiful thing.
Well, I think he knows also that you know that you owe it to him for the strength he gives you, the perseverance, for the way, you know, he's wired you in such a way. It's so different that you never give up.
Yeah. Without him, like, I wouldn't be here right now. My parents wouldn't be sober. My uncles wouldn't be sober. That's crazy. My uncle who's picking me up, he has seven or eight years sober right now from hard drugs.
That's awesome.
It's amazing.
That's huge. And that's miraculous. And the, and that just says, too, about the ripple effect of someone like yourself that has a faith and a perseverance to stay strong in the Lord and stay strong in what he's got for you. But what has suffering, because you have suffered, and you don't see it so much in the physical as maybe someone might see it for you, but you have suffered in other ways. So how is that suffering? What has it taught you about God?
He gives his hardest battles to his strongest soldiers. I truly believe that. It's hard to believe it when you're in the midst of it. It really is. But if I hadn't have gone through what I did, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. And I wouldn't have the same outlook at all.
That's right.
I love that. I'm going to quote you on that one. He gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. I love that. So what would you say to someone right now who's listening and they just feel like their challenge is too big? Like, you got the wrong soldier, Lord. Like, this challenge is too big for me to overcome. What do I do?
You got to sit and pray with it. That's literally all you can do. There's no stressing, nothing else you can do to try to figure it out, because you won't. You're wasting your time. You're really wasting your time. Trust me.
Yeah.
Not going to work.
Yeah. The striving and in our own strength doesn't go very far.
What you need to do is sit with God. Sit with him and let him speak to you. Don't try to just let him come to you. And I recommend, what I do a lot is breath work.
It's good. Talk about it.
It sounds very weird.
No.
Especially like, from a Christian out point.
Oh no, it's good.
I'm a part of this foundation called Adaptive Training Foundation. Actually, I got a tat.
Oh, he's got a tattoo.
Yeah, you got a tat.
That's good.
Oh, I got.
You got a few tats. Oh my goodness! Yes, you got like a whole sleeve.
I got my whole chest. I got another tattoo in a couple months. I'm gonna get covered.
Okay,
very excited. But Adaptive Training Foundation, and what it is it's a foundation where David Bibora, his name, the owner and founder, he was a quarterback for the Lions, I think. And he started this foundation to help veterans and people who have been through traumatic brain injuries, and they put them through a 9-week program and train them mentally and physically. There was this dude, he was a Navy SEAL for 15 years, survived all of it unscathed, besides mentally, of course. But he was driving in Highland Village, got in a wreck, flew through the windshield, and lost both of his legs.
Wow.
Just like that. But he already knew and was really good friends with David Bibora. And so he was in my class. So it was really cool seeing him, and he pushed me. He was scary. I'm not going to lie. He's very scary.
Sometimes we need that push.
But I love that because you said earlier, like, when you're facing big challenges, because I'm talking to our listeners right now, the advice that you're hearing from Memphis is sit and pray with God, talk with God about it. But there's a second thing that you do that I want to encourage others to do as well, and that is look for someone else who's gone through those challenges. Like, we're looking at you right now, going through these challenges, you're an inspiration. And you find that other person who's done it, you can say to yourself, if they can do it, I can do it.
That's right.
They provide that inspiration. And I love the fact that you push yourself. Now, you're a skateboarder, you're a hunter, you're a weightlifter, you're this adaptive athlete.
You won competitions.
It's like, I did.
Bodybuilding competitions.
How does this happen?
August 10th, I won my first bodybuilding competition for first
amazing,
place.
Amazing.
A first place. I mean,
so,
seriously.
So people are wondering, okay, now how in the how world, does that work? What does this look like in the gym? I mean, how does he lift weights? He's got, so,
we're going to put a little video in here. We'll show him.
So, because you're an amputee and you just make it work.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I watched you doing the bench press and I'm thinking, what? How does he do that? Because you got to, yeah, that's just amazing.
So, I was trying to get three plates up yesterday.
But you will.
That's the thing. My max bench right now, the max I've done was 430.
What?
So that's four plates in a 25.
Memphis, seriously?
430 pounds.
So that was
nobody's.
A lot of caffeine.
Yeah.
And no sleep, actually.
Wow. So, that's the recipe for that, huh? I wouldn't have put that together.
Yeah.
Man, there is no excuse for you, friend, to not. Get up and get going.
No, but one of the things too, you're talking about the breath work. That's powerful, right? Because it's so much of it is in the way that we are showing up with our mindset, but also physiologically by just taking that breath, just being in a position of resetting, regulating our emotions and regulating our parasympathetic nervous system. And so the fact that you get that, you're doing it, you're practicing it is huge. Because it just prepares you and propels you to your next. So what are your goals in this next season of life? Because you, at one point, were overweight. And
220 pounds, no arms and legs.
220 pounds, no arms, no legs, right? And
that's
now...
That's like probably 350 with a dude with arms and legs.
Wow.
Maybe
more. And so what was that kind of turning point as well in that situation? To say, you know what, I'm stopping all this, I'm changing, I'm getting to the gym, and tell us, you know, what you weigh now.
For me, with all that I was going through, because there was so much recently that happened that I'm really glad, because it's the only reason my dad's sober, to be honest. If that wouldn't have happened, God knows where we would be right now. I love my dad so much, but not in his addiction, because he was a different person. He wasn't my dad.
Yeah.
Totally different person. And it's crazy because, like, he won't remember that. He doesn't remember because, you know, he was always
under the
blacked
influence.
Out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, the only way or the only place I felt myself was the gym and boxing. It was the only place I felt that free, in a sense, and skateboarding too. Let all my anger out, and not let my anger out on my friends, my dad, my dad, my mom.
That's healthy. That's healthy.
But it's so great to see how God is bringing about reconciliation and healing within your family. And even
that's
how
when your
folks were, you know, substance abusers and had all their own issues, how in spite of all that, somehow, some way, God brought you all through it. And again, you're wired in such a way that you just don't quit and you try new things and you break free and you don't see yourself as handicapped. And I think that's a great lesson for all of us, because typically we all have things we want to blame as our shortcomings that limit us. And you just don't go there. So I want to ask you maybe one last question.
Yeah.
Unless
I
you
might have some.
Okay. All right. But I'm just curious, because if every listener could remember just one thing from this conversation with you, what would you want that one thing to be?
Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on yourself. Like at the end of the day, all you got is yourself. And it's up to you how you want to view that. You know what I'm saying? It's up to you.
I'm saying this is a 20-year-old with a lot of wisdom. That's what I'm saying.
But when you say all you have is yourself, I kind of want to flip that a little bit, because you are a believer and you do have Jesus in your heart.
Whoa, let's go there. Jesus. Yeah, hold up. Let's go there.
So, because I know that's what you mean. So let's kind of tap into that.
All you got is Jesus. To be honest, you don't even have yourself. You cannot. I take back everything that I just said. All you have is Jesus. If you rely on yourself to get through it, you're not. And you're just going to keep going in a circle, because that's what happened to me. It's what happened to my parents. It's happened to my family.
Yep.
And it's just going to be a repeating circle of pain, heartbreak,
trauma.
Trauma, all of it.
Well, that's why I had to mention that the way I did, because I knew exactly what you meant, because you've been through it and you have really overcome so much. Mm. And it is not in your strength, but it's in his strength. And so you're just a reminder that none of us are perfect. We're far from being anything like Jesus, but we can all have Jesus in our mind and in our heart for our strength to persevere. And so just thank you for who you are.
Thank you
for being so raw and authentic, mm-hmm. and for showing up when it doesn't always feel like you want to show up.
Yes, ma'am.
And I know you know what that means.
Stop this interview.
Let's talk about that for a second. Mm-hmm. You're right. They don't know this because we're going to edit it. But yeah, for 30 minutes, there was a big delay because the enemy knew we were going to talk about your faith and that you were going to be authentic and share.
I have a friend, and he's very into his religion. I think it's unorthodox. I'm not really sure what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But me and him were talking, and he called me one day because he was going through it. And he was saying that he felt like he wasn't doing enough or hearing Jesus or whatever it was. And I told him, I was like, bro, I was like, you know how Jesus can talk to you? I was like, so can the enemy. Like, he could talk to you in so many different ways, so many ways that you think is good.
Yeah.
Like
he's the deceiver. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like,
so we have to have discernment.
Everything is from God.
That's right. That's right.
And you have to be able to decipher that. And it's very hard.
Yeah.
But you'll know. Deep down, you'll know.
Deep down, you will know. And the more we're in his word, the more we know, because that's where the truth is. And that's where we can expose the counterfeit and see the lies, because we're like, wait a minute, God didn't say that. And it may sound really close to what God said, but it isn't exactly it. So you just keep doing what you're doing, Memphis. Stay close to him.
Yeah, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep never giving up like you never do, and being an inspiration. We really believe that God has some wonderful things ahead for you because you can be an inspiration to help so many hurting people who think they can't overcome life's challenges. You can encourage them in their faith and in their perseverance and, you know, like, get back up and quit thinking you're a loser. You're not, and stop being a quitter. You're a great inspiration, my man. And
Thank you so much. We
just love you. We see great things ahead for you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
It's an honor. And congratulations again on your bodybuilding first place
contest. Let me see that
contest.
Flex. Let me see that
bicep. Come on, let me see it.
Look at them guns.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that.
That's for.
I love it. You're amazing.
My little half bicep. My little mini bicep.
That's fantastic. We're so proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Keep doing good works. And we're going to keep praying for you too, Memphis. You and your family.
I'll keep praying for y'all.
Thank you.
All right. Bless you. Thanks so much. Take care.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we love spending time with you right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough Podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. But until then, just head on over to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com, where you'll find some free resources and information and a place where you can comment. And we would love to dialogue with you there. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.